You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Boston Red Sox with MLB.com's Red Sox beat reporter, Ian Brown. Ian, we are just about at the end of the year, and I don't generally like to do talk about questions, but I think this demands something along those lines. A very simple, a very broad, what the heck happened to the 2014 Red Sox?
It's hard to say. I mean, the one thing that just jumps off the page is the offense. I mean, the whole time I've been watching the Red Sox for decades now, I've never seen a Red Sox team that just couldn't hit like this one. And I think that was a big thing, was just that they were all year long, they couldn't hit, with especially with runners in scoring position. And it was really all year. You know, this offense never really at any point in the season had a hot streak. And that was, and it's just, I think it's a combination of that with, you know, putting too much on the young players. And I think that the thing, those two things went hand in hand, where you're counting on too many young guys to kind of contribute and carry a load offensively, and it just had a trickle-down effect.
Yeah, to me, that's the really interesting question is you've got to trust your development team. You've got to trust your major league staff. You've got to trust that the homegrown players you bring up are going to work, and historically they have. I mean, I think there's a pretty good record there in Boston, and yet they had two guys that seemed an awful lot like can't miss, who one of them might actually miss, and one of them at least didn't have the year they hoped. Do you think, like you said, was there too much pressure on them? Did the club just misread these guys? With Bradley and Bogarts, it seems like, I don't want to put too much on two guys because obviously a lot of things happen here, but it seems like if that works out with those guys, then this is a very different year. So in your mind, what happened with those two guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, with Bogarts, you know, I think we all lost sight of, you know, how few at-bats this guy had in his development, and, you know, saw what he did last year in the playoffs and just kind of figured this guy was ready, you know. And I think that maybe he fell victim to some of that hype, too, and it just was a lot harder than he thought. I think that he finally, when you look at the end of the season, he finally sort of did start making the adjustments, and he is making a case of late that, you know, he could be a pretty nice piece for them next year. With Bradley, that's a little more concerning to me, because to me, Bradley just looks like a guy who can't hit at the major league level. You know, we've seen it for long enough. We've seen it enough at bats where he doesn't look like a major league hitter. So, you know, maybe he still has something to say about it, but now, you know, you don't even know how he factors in the team's plans for next year, now that they have Mookie Betts and Ruzny Castillo and Cespedes and Alan Craig. So it seems like he's kind of getting boxed out. So I think that to me, Bradley and Middlebrooks are the two guys I'm not sure they're going to be part of what this team does next year.
Not to hammer them, but this is a really smart organization, and it seems like inability to hit big league pitching is a pretty big deal. How does that happen? I mean, again, is it just a misread, or how does it happen that a guy that they're confident enough to say, you're the guy and we're going to make decisions based on that, just doesn't hit at all?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big mystery. I mean, I think they've banging their head against the wall with both guys, with Bradley and with Will Middlebrooks, trying to get them to make the necessary adjustments. And, you know, in Middlebrooks' case, you know, he has had a hard time staying healthy. He had a finger injury, so you don't know if, you know, maybe the health is related. But, Bradley's, like I said, it's been the real mystery to them. And I'm sure they're going to reexamine their process this winter and how they work with young players and try to integrate them to the major league level, because, you know, the Red Sox had a real track record of success with these guys, you know, starting with that whole, you know, Pedroia, Euculus, you know, Papelbon, Buchholz, Lester, that whole class that came up, you know, they all seemed to contribute to World Series teams, and you know, maybe this class just, you know, they're not as good.
We talked a good bit about the offense, and it's clear this team didn't hit nearly enough, but as we go towards 2015, they've already made some moves to address that. We have a pretty good idea of what some of what they hope the answers will be to fixing the offense, particularly in the outfield. What seems much less clear is the rotation. What do you think the 2015 Red Sox rotation looks like?
Well, they got to go out and get a couple veteran guys. I think the one thing you know is that Clay Buchholz and Joe Kelly are two guys that are definitely going to be in that rotation. Then you got to go out and get at least two, maybe three guys. You know, you're going to look at the free agents. You have some money. You're the Boston Red Sox, so you have some money to spend. You know, they're going to talk to John Lester again. They're going to talk to Max Scherzer and see, you know, that market could be pretty expensive. So they have to be willing to reach deep into their pockets. But certainly I think the Red Sox need to sign at least one free agent pitcher, maybe trade for another one. And, maybe one of their young guys will emerge. I think Alan Webster is a guy who has pitched well lately, and they're wondering if he might be able to earn himself a spot next spring. But, yeah, the pitching staff is going to look a lot different than it does right now, that's for sure.
The Red Sox MO in recent years, and it's, I don't mean to suggest they don't spend because they certainly carry a very high payroll, but their MO in recent years has largely not been those kind of enormous free agent splashes. They haven't really been a big player, it seems like, for the guys, for the equivalents of this year of Lester and Scherzer. I understand Lester is a very different case for them because they know him, but do you think that as this winter approaches, maybe they get back to getting in on those sorts of really big moves?
Yeah, I mean, you have to adapt to the circumstances sometimes, and right now the Red Sox has kind of boxed themselves into a circumstance where, you know, it looks like they're if they want a, a quality championship caliber rotation next year, they're going to have to spend on some of these guys. And you know, they did do it with John Lackey a few years back, where they paid pretty sizable money for a pitcher. So I think that they're just going to have to look at the position they sort of boxed themselves into here, and they're going to have to go out and spend big on at least one guy out there, and I'm pretty sure they will.
Are they confident that with the moves they've made, both at the deadline and in adding Castillo, that the outfield is fixed, that the outfield, they essentially know what the outfield of the 2015 Red Sox is going to look like?
Yeah, I don't think they know completely yet, because right now there's a little bit of a surplus, where you're talking about Cespedes, Betts, and Craig, and you got Shane Victorino coming back from surgery, and you're going to have some guys. The Red Sox also feel they're a little too right-handed right now, so don't be surprised if this team goes out and tries to get left-handed bat or two over the offseason too, and then you figure where does that fit in? So I think if the Red Sox feel that the outfield is a position of strength, and they might be able to actually use some of the surplus now to maybe complement the roster a little better, whether it's getting a left-handed bat, whether it's getting another pitcher. So I think that there's a lot in flux for the Red Sox right now as you look at the winter.
Is Cespedes a guy who might move?
Hey, I mean, stranger things have happened. I think in a perfect world, they would like to have Cespedes in the cleanup spot next year, but he does have a contract that could be pretty tradable there, and that there's only 1 year left on it. And as they're saying, with they have a real overload of right-handed hitters right now versus lefties. So if Cespedes is the deal that brings them, the stud pitcher that they need, then yeah, he can be moved. There's no question about it. So then you have to go out and get another big productive bat. So like I said, this is a really fascinating Red Sox offseason. Perhaps one of the most fascinating I've seen in a long time in terms of all that can happen and might happen and how many different scenarios there are. Usually it's a little more clear cut, and you say, we need to go out this winter and get a third baseman. We need to get a left fielder. I think it's not so clear cut. There's a lot of moving parts this winter, so the Red Sox are going to be in the middle of the hot stove action for sure.
I hate to keep hammering on this topic, but I'll be honest, it's personal interest because the guy I covered, it's still not working for Alan Craig. At what point, and I realize it's still not a lot of at-bats, but at what point is there some worry that there's something really wrong there, I don't know what the thought is, but he's been even worse since coming over after he seemed like a change of scenery candidate. What's the read on Craig?
Yeah, the one thing, he looked really slow running. And, they did a full workup on this foot. They didn't find anything. So I think what they're really hoping is that, a full off season, you know, they feel he had a short offseason last year because of the World Series. He never really had time to get over that foot injury he had last year. I think that they think that a full offseason of strengthening, of conditioning, maybe just getting some rest, will help him just feel better next year and then be able to, you know, be able to hit like he can. Maybe, you know, develop some bad mechanics and then also try to adjust to new scenery here. I think it's just all combined for, you know, a really bad year for this guy. But, you know, I don't think they've given up on Alan Craig. He's still got a really affordable sort of team-friendly contract that he signed with the Cardinals, you know, a couple of years ago. So, you know, they're willing to let this play out and see if, you know, maybe a nice offseason can. And this was just a blip. Maybe this would just be the blip in Alan Craig's career. This was the year he had a really bad year. I remember Mike Lowell had one like this with the his last year at the Marlins. So I think that's what they're hoping. Is that he's a really good hitter who had a bad year.
I need to check on getting the tortoise back. One other thing, the ninth inning as of now seems like maybe a question given Uehara's age and given his little fade down here at the end of the season. What do you think they do with Uehara? And if he doesn't come back, is that another area where maybe they make a splash in free agency?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to make – the Red Sox have never been big on the whole, you know, spending big on a closer. They've always felt like they can find a closer, kind of like they did last year with Koji. You know, it's actually – Mujica lost everyone because he pitched so poorly early in the season, but he's actually pitched really well, you know, down the stretch and has looked really comfortable when he has closed. I think he's 8-for-9 in save opportunities. They don't completely rule out them giving Mujica a shot at that. But, yeah, I think they still would like to bring Koji back, too. It's just a matter of, you know, what would the contract be? Would it be the qualifying offer? You know, would they be willing to swallow hard and just pay the $14 million and then say goodbye? Or would they'd see if they can negotiate with him on something a little, you know, something a little smaller? So that's, you know, those are the kind of things that they're working through right now.
All right. Well, Ian Brown, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.